Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us. Clock ticking on the Dobies regime. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Good. We had our first in-person city council meeting last night since the onset of the pandemic, and we went to digital meetings. So it was great to be back at City Hall, see some familiar faces, some familiar citizen commenters as well. But
your fan club was there?
Yeah. Nobody's fan club was back in action. And but it was good. It was good to see some of the other council members face to face, see some of the other city staff that have really gone above and beyond during the pandemic to help keep City Hall flowing. And we had a lengthy agenda, but a lot of work to get done last night.
So the urban farming ordinance voted down. What happened?
Yeah. I'm not really too sure. I think that there's definitely support for a lot of the provisions of the urban farming ordinance. And you'll recall that policy seeks to strike a balance between prohibiting some of the activities around keeping of hens in the city, around keeping of bees in the city and mini pigs and the like, and allowing that and setting some regulations in place to both allow that activity, but also protect some of the surrounding neighborhood and neighbors that would be having urban apiaries or chicken coops pop up. So what I tried to do in writing that policy, and this is something that we've worked on for a number of years and actually predates some of the existing council members, former council member Colleen Sullivan and I started working on it. It now went through the City Planning Commission, and council member Wolf Orgrave and I also worked on it a little bit. And, I think that City Council was interested in exploring more options, maybe some other animals, figuring out how they want to actually strike the balance between lifting that prohibition and allowing that activity with some regulations. And I think that some people had some concerns, some outright just didn't want to allow that activity, and others had concerns that, that policy was on the agenda put out by the city manager. And I think, I think it is incumbent on council to come into the meetings with some proposed changes and suggestions. And I think that sometimes that just doesn't happen, and it's much easier to just table something than to and kick the can down the road than to sit there and talk about it. I don't know. A lot of hard work went into that policy, and I was hoping that it could get past the first reading, and in between first and second reading, we could continue to have conversations in the community and work on it. But we'll see if we can bring it back up and have more conversations on it at the August 10th meeting.
I'm curious how that is enforced, Derek. Obviously, you don't go around looking for that. Do you wait until somebody complains?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking about this last night at the meeting, but we don't go around measuring everybody's grass on a weekly basis and a whole range of different regulations in the code that we don't automatically enforce unless there's some sort of a complaint. So I think similar to that, this policy would be complaint driven, and I don't anticipate everyone in the city rushing out to buy chickens or set up a beehive within the next year. I think this is going to be a select number of individuals, and my guess would be that it would be those individuals would have some sort of background and knowledge of beekeeping. The policy actually kind of speaks to that with beekeeping, of having some sort of training and background. So you know, I think that council will hopefully spend the next 4 weeks considering it and bring back some suggestions for changes to that policy that we can make at the August 10th meeting.
So that will, it will eventually return, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Councilmember Forgrave. I think he has a lot of people in the 6th Ward that are interested in seeing a policy like that put in place and that activity be allowed in the city limits. So my intent is to work with Councilmember Forgrave, bring that back up, put it back in front of council, and hopefully the other council members can put some thought into between now and then really dive into the policy, read it, and bring some potential changes back on how they'd like to see it change.
So you were able to move forward on Downtown National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah, and that's going to be really cool. I mean, when we talked to some of the individuals that proposed that and some of the firms that proposed that, man, back, it was in the city manager Pat Birch days, a team came down to City Hall or to the city, I think from SHPO, and talked about it, talked about the opportunity to place Downtown Jackson on the National Register of Historic Places. I think that the vote last night was unanimous. That's going to not only register Downtown as on the National List of Historic Places, but it also allows some of those buildings and some of those future developments to avail themselves of some federal tax credits. So I think that it's common sense. It makes sense to do. In fact, many were surprised that Downtown Jackson wasn't already on the National List of Historic Places. So we're going to move forward with that process, figuring out what we have to do to do the survey work and put together the application and make that application. It doesn't, you know, to those that have familiarity with the city's Historic District Commission, it is different from that. There's no further regulations or stipulations put in place on buildings with this designation. It's simply listing it on the register and allowing us the opportunity to for buildings to avail themselves of that federal tax credit.
So property owners would be able to take some sort of advantage?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we have been really successful with in our downtown developments has been kind of pulling all of the different resources together on different projects to figure out how we make the pro formas work and ultimately how we make those projects come to fruition. And this would just be one more tool, one more arrow in the quiver to help us make those projects whole, make those pro formas work, and hopefully get more projects going up and under development in the downtown area.
Now, the redesigning of the city seal, getting some?
I'm doing it myself. Yeah.
Are you? Okay. So it's all done?
Yep. I'll text it to you.
Are you getting some complaints or what?
You know, we're the Jackson Public Arts Commission is moving forward with RFP and soliciting some proposals from area firms to help in the design, and also during this process soliciting feedback from the community, and some have contacted me about engaging in that process just as ordinary citizens. I've encouraged them to do so if they want to submit potential ideas, you know, even if they're just kind of verbal concepts to the Arts Commission, if they're sketches, you know, what have you, submit those to the Arts Commission. And as they go through this process, I think it'll be incredibly helpful. I have gotten some some feedback of, you know, revisionist rewriting history concerns. I think a lot of that is being stoked by people that maybe don't have a fair understanding of what we're doing and maybe why we're doing it. You know, we're not proposing to rewrite history. The seal that as it exists today will always be a part of our history. What we're merely proposing to do at this point in time is just move forward with a different seal. I've been in talks with L. Sharp Museum about, you know, preserving the existing seal and also documenting kind of this changing of the seal and the conversations that surround it. But I think, you know, a year ago, council made a decision to move forward with a new seal based on some of the conversations that we were having at the time and continue to engage on around racial equity. And I think it makes sense. That made sense then and continues to make sense now.
Yeah, there is an, I guess, at least an element out there that wants to leave it alone, right?
I mean, no matter what we do, whether it is talking about the seal, whether it's talking about the listing downtown on the National Register of Historic Places, whether it's the urban farming ordinance and talking about allowing chickens and bees in the city, you know, people will always be inclined when they hear stuff like that to say, hey, you know, why aren't you fixing the roads, or why aren't you dealing with some of the gun violence, or, you know, there's more pressing issues is oftentimes the reason for not engaging in, you know, because people want us to work on issue A, that is a reason why we can't do issues X, Y, and Z. I always say, you know, we run the full gambit at City Council. As we were talking earlier, you know, our agenda went from literally for new business A through Z, and then we added an item AA. You know, so we had a lot on our plate, which included a lot of water and sewer projects, a lot of critical investments from the American Rescue Plan, a lot of investments in our roads and infrastructure, and a lot of things within our police department too. I think that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think that while it's generated a lot of conversation, you know, it's not taking up a lot of our time and thought, and maybe it's taking up a lot of attention from the general public around the seal, but that's not something that the city's necessarily focused on. We're focused on how we put some of those American Rescue Plan dollars to best use, how we can rebuild our infrastructure, and how we can continue to bounce back from the pandemic. So
anything new on that $31 million?
You know, nothing new. We have we had a neighborhood meeting last week, kind of talking about some of the initial proposals from the city administration. Last night, we moved forward with a couple of the water and sewer infrastructure projects, a new rebuilding the lift station on Myrtle Street, so that just some of the taking care of some of the aging infrastructure that's critical infrastructure, so that, you know, we don't have sewer backing up into people's houses if that lift station fails. So, yeah, we're going to continue to have conversations. We have another neighborhood meeting next week to engage on that front, and hopefully we'll be able to talk more about citizen priorities as we go forward.
Dana Nessel check in yet?
Not yet. I will loop back on your behalf, Greg.
She was pretty busy yesterday.
You know, it is it's an incredibly busy time. I understand that of our state leaders. They have a lot on their plate dealing with the budget and also how they can put some of their American Rescue Plan dollars to work. So
did you hear the story in Flint?
No, probably not.
They were on the Zoom meeting, and of course the lawyers want more money out of this Flint settlement, and one of the lawyers fell asleep on the Zoom meeting, and they want more money. I thought that was quite ironic.
Well, that's why we changed back to in-person meetings, and we're right out in front. You know, there's no opportunity to turn off your camera and doze. And you know, it's nice to be back in City Hall and seeing some faces that you hadn't seen in a long time. It's kind of a breath of fresh air for sure.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobie's post council session. Thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care.